Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go, where other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And it's great to be back with you live here tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Visit our website, philhendryshow.com, to watch a live streaming video cast of our show right now. And you can see us as we broadcast live here from our studios at the El Pacifico. And we had quite a bit of beautiful weather today. I hope you've been wherever you are, man. I know there's some nasty stuff happening up in the Northwest. We're going to be talking here in a moment with Art Griego from the Santa Monica Airport. He is a pilot and a contributor on matters having to do with aviation on our show, because the story, if you didn't hear it, out of Houston is quite strange, and I say that with the greatest of respect. It was a captain this time, the captain of an aircraft that was having what was described as a breakdown, a mid-air, bizarre mid-air breakdown. The captain of a JetBlue flight. It was traveling from New York to Los Angeles, and the flight was forced to land an emergency landing in Amarillo, Texas, where the captain was removed from the aircraft and hospitalized. Now, the passenger said the captain of Flight 191 was acting erratically outside the cockpit and could be heard shouting about Al-Qaeda and bombs being on board. And in other words, all the things that you just love to hear a captain of an aircraft shout. And of course, I'm being facetious. One of the passengers seated in the third row told a local newspaper that fortunately, in first class, close to the captain, was a man who was a former corrections officer. And so he had experience in restraining individuals physically, and he was able to put a chokehold on this guy and take him down, and then a whole bunch of the other passengers just sat on this guy. The co-pilot was quoted as saying that the captain was acting in a bizarre way. It was reminiscent of another embarrassing moment for the airline when flight attendant Steven Slater went down the emergency chute. I don't know if you guys remember that one. But in any event, the co-pilot said the captain left the cockpit during the flight, and the co-pilot locked the door, according to passengers. We got Art Griego on the line, actually. He's on a flight himself to Las Vegas, I think, tonight. It is a very quick jaunt. Are you flying commercially tonight, Art?
What we're doing, Phil, is bringing some passengers over to Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This is a private shuttle.
Yeah, that's the business that we run, my wife and I run, and we're just bringing some passengers over to Las Vegas tonight.
And did you hear the story that I was just talking about?
We did, and it's always of concern every time a fellow pilot, anytime any aircraft that involves the business that we're in, which is ensuring the safety and the travel of individual citizens, is always of grave concern when we hear that something like this happens, especially has to do with the health and well-being of a flight member.
Now, one of the things that I saw in the story that jumped right out at me was, and maybe I'm the only one, was that the airline, JetBlue, said they're not going to release any information about the pilot, not his name, not his medical condition. They released nothing today.
That is correct, because you don't want to jeopardize, first of all, you don't want to jeopardize the pilot's ability to make a living at some point in the future. I mean, you want to make sure he gets treatment. You don't want him to be unfairly characterized in the press or otherwise be unfairly characterized in a medical report that perhaps could be wrong or any one of a number of things. So I would just hasten to say to you, Phil, and your listeners tonight that this is simply something that protects the privacy of the pilot, so that he is getting the right medical treatment, so that the airline doesn't take advantage of the situation to cast some doubt on his ability, and that the most importantly, the passengers don't get a hold of erroneous information, or the public doesn't get a hold of erroneous information, and makes it more difficult for him to do his job.
We're talking here with Art Griego about Art is a former commercial pilot, about the JetBlue flight that today was forced to land an emergency landing in Amarillo, Texas, when the pilot had what was described as a bizarre midair breakdown. Let me pursue this this health thing for a moment, that is publicizing the health of the pilot. You said that you certainly don't want the public to know because it would jeopardize his ability to do his job in the future. What did you mean by that?
Well, it's difficult enough flying commercially, Phil, when you have not only an aircraft to control, but you also have to deal with the public. When you're flying and you are in the midst of doing this very, very difficult job, you certainly don't want passengers with information about the pilot getting nervous, causing problems for flight attendants, causing safety problems. Because the overall, Phil, you know, the safest person on the aircraft is still the pilot, whether or not he's had a medical issue in the past. Regardless, he is the safest individual on that aircraft. He is the man who's in charge. And if you lose him because you've got passengers who are nervous about him or are causing a problem themselves, then you've got a real problem. I have, as you know, Phil, for years, I have been campaigning to carry some kind of a sidearm or a weapon in the cockpit for this kind of an eventuality. I'm not just talking about terrorists now. We're talking about passengers who get information that should not have been in their possession, and then they begin to act in ways that are not safe.
Well, I want to follow this line of reasoning a little bit. And our number, by the way, folks, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I don't know if we have any airline pilots out there or just people that fly a lot. You're saying to me that you campaign to arm our pilots. Now, I know that there are airlines that in other countries, I think, that allow their pilots to be armed. I also know that this has been a topic of discussion in this country, and it has not been something that it's not yet been something that has become a reality. But you're saying that you wanted pilots to be armed because of the reactions of just everyday passengers?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that we don't have a problem with terrorists. But if a pilot, if a passenger got a hold of my medical history, and you can use me as an example because I had a similar, not as bad, but I had a similar problem following 9/11 when I had been flying, I think something like 48 hours straight. I had a couple of commercial runs, and we had been setting up our own private business. I was very tired, and I had gotten on the PA and talked to the passengers, and I'd said some things that upset some people, and I got into a physical altercation. Now, if that was made public while I was flying, then there's going to be passengers wanting to come up and talk to me about it.
And that's why you feel you should have a gun?
No, I'm saying that's one of the reasons why I felt we should be armed. If we get terrorists are obviously the number one problem, but if you get a passenger that suddenly thinks he is a member of the NTSB or the FAA, or he thinks he's suddenly a cop, and they want to start to push their weight around. And
you're saying that someone would be so bold in finding the medical information, the medical background, your psychiatric background, that they try to push their way into the cockpit?
Well, I mean, I had a passenger tell me when this happened to me that he never wanted to fly with me again, and he hoped that I was fired.
Well, tell the audience what happened to you.
Again, I had a situation where I was so tired that I simply it happens, Phil. It happens to the best of us. I lost my perspective, control, if you want. I had a bit of a nervous situation where I frightened the passengers.
And what did you do, if you don't mind telling us?
Well, I got on our the captain's squawk to the passengers, and I started pretending like I was the air traffic controller for the plane that went down in Shanksville.
And you pretended you were the air traffic controller for United 93?
That's correct. Yeah.
What were you saying?
Well, I was on the play. I was on the talkback, and I was saying United 93, United 93. Where are you? Where are you? And it was. It was a bad. It was very, very bad. I was hospitalized and I had to be medicated. But I remember this one passenger saying, "I'll never fly on your airline, and certainly never fly with you again." And that stayed with me because I didn't think it was fair. And
well, can you blame the guy, though, if you think about it? Here's a guy that he's looking at laying on a cot, who's just been taken out of the cockpit of the aircraft, who was scared the hell out of everybody. You know.
Well, but again, look at it from my perspective. I've got to, I have to make a living. And if you take that information and you make it public, you know.
Well, that's what we're talking about here, and that's what we're discussing with Art Griego here tonight, folks. The pilot on this JetBlue flight, his name hasn't been released. What's wrong with him specifically hasn't been released. And I'm sure that the public would like to know, but the airline has said to protect the privacy of the pilot, and Art concurs with that. Because in your mind, Art, if the news gets out there, the pilot's not going to work again, the public will overreact, and so forth.
That is correct, because again, the pilot's the safest guy.
So there's no safety risk.
I don't think there's as much a safety risk as there is with passengers going haywire and trying to kick into the door. The pilot is still, on average, if you look at American aviation, we have the best pilots on average in the world. So you can't, but on average, let's take a look at our customers. Are they any more... I guess, are they any more stable than any other passenger? And the answer is probably no. They're just as suspect in terms...
Well, you don't have any statistics on that, though, to know that the average passenger in America...
Well, but we just know that we've... I just know that the pilots in this country are far more stable. I think in a situation where you really need to have someone thinking cool, calm, and collected, far more stable than the passengers are going to be.
All right, we're talking here with Art Griego here about the JetBlue captain tonight who was restrained today on a flight from New York to Los Angeles by the passengers. He apparently had some kind of a breakdown midair, and we'll ask Art to hang on the line with us. His name is not released. His medical condition is not released, and the airline said they're doing that to respect the privacy of the pilot. Don't you think at some point, and I'm sure that they will, but don't you think at some point this is vital information for passengers, for the public, to know whether or not they have full confidence in this airline? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're talking with Art Griego, who is a pilot, retired pilot, is flying a private passenger charter service now that he owns with his family, but was at one time a commercial pilot. We're talking about a JetBlue pilot that had a nervous breakdown, I guess, of some kind in the cockpit today. Art, I wanted to find out more about this because it's strange. And if I'm a passenger, obviously that's going to concern me, you know.
Well, there's no question it concerns a passenger. There's no question at all. And we're mindful of that. I'm just, what I'm saying is, it's something I hope that people would understand. When the dust settles and the pilot has been removed or the passenger or the crew member, whoever, that obviously they're entitled to their privacy. I don't think that the company should release his name. I don't think the company should release his condition.
But don't you think that anybody that's going to fly on JetBlue...
Well, hold on. Let me just finish what I'm saying, because you're talking about something. I'm a professional, and by that I mean I'm a pilot. I've been there. I've done that. You're a member of the public, and we get confused sometimes with the public. And this is why I was talking to you earlier about needing, in many ways, to have our pilots across this country armed as they do, for instance, in Israel. The commercial pilots are armed because the public, when it comes to flying, can panic. And when the public panics, you got a situation.
Yeah, but if a captain, if you don't mind me interrupting here, if the captain of a plane panics, the plane's going to go down.
No, it's not, because you've got a co-pilot. That's what I'm saying. But if the public, let's take the reverse of what happened on 9/11. I'm happy that what happened on 9/11 with United 93, those brave people giving their lives to, obviously, to save the capital It was an amazing event, a historic event in the history of our great country. But let's look at this more objectively for a moment. If you're an airline pilot, as I'm sure those hijackers saw themselves. Now, I'm not saying that's what they were, but I'm sure they saw themselves as the crew of an airline that they had a job to do with. And you look at the passengers and what they're capable of. If I were those pilots, and again, I'm looking at this objectively. I don't want you to think that I endorse what happened on 9/11. Not at all. But looking objectively, if I were the hijackers of United 93, and I'm looking at those passengers, I would probably want a weapon too. If they'd had a gun, or they had some actual explosive.
Well, it's hard for me to look. I mean, you want me to look objectively, and it's hard for me to do that. You know, I can't imagine a plane load of passengers behaving the way the passengers on United 93 behaved. I can't imagine any other plane load of passengers behaving that way. I think that was a unique situation born of desperation and of the crisis of the moment and the terror of that day. You know.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, if you look at it objectively, if you put yourself into the shoes of the man that was flying that aircraft, I don't know what his name was.
It's one of the terrorists.
You're absolutely right, Phil. But if you for a moment put yourself in the shoes of that man and imagine yourself as an airline pilot, you've got a problem.
Well, what airline pilot is going to have a problem like that?
I don't know, but I can tell you this much. If you begin to release the medical records of pilots and co-pilots, and the public gets a hold of these, and they panic, you're not going to have a United 93, but you're going to have a situation. And that's why I've said we need to be armed.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you.
Hold on. Well, you are. I'm trying to tell you something here, Phil, because I'm a professional aviator. You're not. I need to be armed, and other pilots need to be armed.
In case the public gets a hold of information about your medical records that causes them to panic. I'm asking you a question here, okay? Because I think this is far more important question. You said that you are flying on this aircraft, and you know, if you're a pilot, you're flying on an aircraft, and you need to be in control, and you need to have the aircraft. It's your aircraft, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now you lose control, as this pilot did today. The passengers have a legitimate concern that man's mental state is such that he could endanger the aircraft.
It is only legitimate insofar if he were the only pilot, but they had a co-pilot. And on average, again, I can't emphasize this enough, on average, the average pilot is in far better mental health and in far better shape than the average passenger. That's why I'm saying that, you know, if you look at the overall, I'd be far more concerned with the passengers than I would be with the pilots.
At some point, JetBlue's going to have to release this man's name, don't you think?
I don't know. I hope they don't.
You don't. At no point do you want JetBlue to release this pilot's name?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
There's no reason.
There's no reason. JetBlue has. JetBlue should be questioned here, you know.
Yeah, go ahead. Go on. Tell me what JetBlue, because I can hear in your voice, Phil, you're not really sure what it is you want to say.
No, I know exactly what I want to say. JetBlue is the legitimate target of questions by the public insofar as their hiring practices.
Insofar as their... Why do you say that?
Because they've got a pilot that they hired that had a breakdown. So how are they vetting their pilots? How are they qualifying their pilots? Who are the men that they're bringing on board? Who are the crew members that they're bringing on board to serve the public and to get them safely from point A to point B?
The way that you describe that, Phil, and you're one of the most intelligent guys that I know, but the way you just described that there shows that you don't know anything about the aviation business.
I give you that. I'm not arguing that with you. I'm saying I'll give you all of the technical expertise in the world. I'm speaking to you now as a passenger. That's something I do know. I know what it is to be a passenger, to be a consumer, to buy a seat on an aircraft. I know what it is to want to go from one city to the next.
So I know that too. So what I'm saying is I'm not only a pilot, I've been a passenger. So I've got a far better overall picture than you or any member of the public. And that's why I'm saying you cannot release this man's name. I don't want my name released in relation to this situation that happened.
Where you were going on and on about being United 93.
That is correct.
877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We'll take a break.
Yes.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry... Whoops. Hold on. I won't do it again. Told myself that would never happen again. All right, now we're back. Just flipped on the audio feed there. Welcome back here on the world-famous... The audio feed for our video cast. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL is our number. And we welcome you back here to the broadcast this evening as we discuss... another one of these mid-air, you know, it seems like, and I could be wrong, but it seems as if these mid-air episodes of a passenger doing this or that or something else have taken on new significance. Obviously, it's taken on new significance since 9/11. It also seems like maybe the incidents are going up, or maybe we're just noticing them more, because I was trying to think, before 9/11 happened, what did I hear on the news? On a semi-regular basis of mid-air incidents, per se. And as it turns out, when I was thinking about it, Art, and Art Griego is our guest here, I came up with a few.
Did you?
Yeah, I mean, I came up with one. I'll never forget this as long as I live. It was a horrible, horrible story, and I had just gotten home from work. It was about probably going on 40 years ago now, man. I just started in radio, and I'd just gotten home from work, and I was listening to the news, and a Delta flight that was going from Atlanta to L.A., somehow the cabin had depressurized, and a part of the cabin had been blown out, or there was a hole in the cabin or in the fuselage that it right out of a movie that sucked one of the passengers out into the night sky.
I think I know the episode you're talking about.
You know the one?
Yeah, it was over New Mexico, and they did immediately start a search for that man. It was a male passenger, and of course he was never found. I don't even know where you would begin to imagine to look when you're at that altitude, because I think they were up pretty high, about 25,000 feet.
And of course, you remember the was it Aloha Airlines?
That was in the 80s when a piece of not just a piece, the whole fuselage came apart, and that began a whole other series of investigations into how passengers react to stress. And what we have to, as pilots, be aware of.
Well, when you say how passengers react to stress, when a piece of the fuselage blows away like it did on Aloha Airlines, aren't you worried more about the equipment?
Well, the equipment is going to... You're going to have equipment failure, there's no question. But we've got great ground crews, we've got great engineers, we've got great designers, and we have a great aviation industry from the standpoint of manufacture. That's going to happen. But what you don't want to have happen is after something like that occurs, whether it's a piece of the fuselage or whether it's a passenger who has not strapped himself into his seat properly and has not put on his oxygen mask as he was told to, but instead was doing something else and now finds himself outside of the aircraft at 30,000 feet and he will not be telling anybody about it.
You're blaming the passenger, and I'm sure that there was perhaps there was some error there, but he can't help the fact that a piece of the fuselage got blown out.
No, he can't, and neither can the pilot, and neither can the airline. And
yes, the airline can. The airline can.
How can the airline help if a piece of the fuselage is lost in flight?
The airline is ultimately culpable in that it's their equipment. It was their piece of equipment that failed. something having to do with the metal fatigue they were talking about on that Aloha airline, or it might have something else to do with the manufacturer of the aircraft. Maybe it's got nothing to do with how old it is. Maybe it has to do with how it was put together. But this is ultimately the responsibility of the airline, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely ultimately the responsibility of the airline. It's also the responsibility of the passenger to make sure that he is doing what the flight crew told him to do and not be standing around getting something out of his bag. You talk about that passenger who got sucked out of the aircraft. And
all right, let me get to a phone call here, okay?
Hold on. Wait a minute. Because, again, there's no phone call you're going to take that's going to give you more information than I got. Okay, that guy that got sucked out of that aircraft over New Mexico, no doubt was doing something other than listening to the flight attendants when they said, be seated, please, put on your seat belts and safety belts and make sure that you're using the oxygen masks. Because by the time all of that started to happen and everybody was safely in their seat, belted in, and using oxygen, he was getting sucked out of the aircraft. Now, the airline has to explain that to his family. He's not there to say to his wife, I was standing around acting like a fool, and I wasn't paying attention, honey, and I got sucked out of the aircraft. No. Instead, the airline's going to be blamed.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Art Griego is my guest here as we talk about the pilot that had the breakdown. And the fact that JetBlue is not releasing his name or his medical records, and Art feels that that is absolutely the correct decision because pilots, deserve to have their privacy, and that the real risk here is how the public reacts in some of these situations. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jeff in Temple City. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm asking the pilot a question about what you had said earlier about being... I guess you yourself, you said you had a medical condition?
Well, I had an incident aboard my aircraft, yeah.
Yeah, did you say you had a breakdown too?
It was not a breakdown. It was bad judgment that did then eventually...
I thought I heard you say that...
You did mention it was emotional.
It was emotional, but it was born of something that a passenger did.
Okay, well, can I ask you? You said that you were on the radio to the passengers.
That's correct, sir. I had gotten on the talkback, the PA to the cabin, and I was pretending like I was the air traffic control for United 93.
Well, I mean, what were you saying?
I was just calling United 93, United 93, Cleveland, United 93.
So you were trying to scare people?
I was. It was a bad judgment on my part, yes, sir, because I had had a run-in with one of the passengers who had, asked me. They'd seen me on another flight. They asked me if I had a certain problem, a drinking problem or something. I don't know what it was. I forget now.
Had you been drinking on another flight?
No, I had not. They must have had me confused with someone, but it bothered me so much. And I'd been, as I said to you earlier, Phil, I'd had a long couple of days flying not only commercially but also flying for our startup company. And I really, I'm giving you a lot more information than I should.
Well, I mean, I think it's important. I just think it's important.
Hold on for just a minute, son. So I'm going to give you the story, but I'm just telling you, you're getting more information than I should be giving you.
Well, all right, we appreciate it, but so you got on the PA and started saying United 93, United 93, knowing that that was going to scare people.
Yeah, it was going to scare people, and it was going to get them to sit down. Basically, my message was this. Remember what happened on United 93? Well, what makes you think that this is so different?
Well, what was going on with the passengers?
Yeah, were they getting out of hand or something?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Were they getting out of hand or something?
Okay, this is the caller?
Yes, sir.
That's my caller, yeah.
All right, well, can I speak with you, Mr. Henry, and just have this gentleman listen because he's...
I mean, I'm the caller that called up.
He's the guy that called up and wants the questions answered.
I know that, but he's... All right, so
what's wrong with me?
All right, I'll answer your question. So the...
Are you saying that you're better or something?
No, well, yes, I am saying I'm better than you.
You're saying you're better than me.
Yes, sir, I am, because of the way you sound.
We won't characterize this caller. Just tell me what led you to get on the PA and start saying United 93 and scaring those passengers.
I was going to tell you. I had had a long couple of days, as I said.
Right.
And I'd had this run-in with the first-class passenger who said, oh, don't I know you from another flight? Weren't you that guy on Northwest who'd been drinking? Ha, ha, ha. I didn't think it was funny. And I realized that I could possibly have a group of passengers that were going to get out of control. And I was tired, and I was fed up. And so I began saying United 93.
Now, all right, so what happened?
What happened was I was given a medical leave. And at which time I told them that I don't want my medical records to be revealed, and they weren't. And
what airline were you flying for?
I'm not going to tell you that.
All right, so in other words, your medical records were sealed, and the airline that you flew for is sealed, and and what caused this breakdown is sealed. You're telling me it's because you were simply tired.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir, but I don't buy that because, I mean, there's a lot of pilots who are tired. But they don't have an emotional breakdown.
Wait a minute. Who said I had an emotional breakdown? You're telling me I had an emotion. I didn't have an emotional breakdown. I had an error in judgment.
An error in judgment where you decided that you would freak out the passengers by saying United 93.
I was angry at the way passengers think that they're entitled to all kinds of information. That's why I'm on your show tonight, to say that no, they're not. And I'm not about to start telling somebody every hemorrhoid that I've had.
I'm not asked about a hemorrhoid.
I'm still talking to this guy, huh?
All right, Jeff, thanks very much for your call.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
877-876-PHIL here with Art Griego. Okay, Art, so you win the argument. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and just beat it into the ground. If you don't want to release your medical records, you don't have to release your medical records. I guess if the airline you flew for, whoever they are, was successful in keeping them private. But I dare say, and if you don't understand this, I don't know what else to tell you. If I'm flying in an aircraft and I know that there's a pilot who at one time had gotten on the PA or whatever it is, telling everybody this is United 93, United 93, and acting very weird like that, I wouldn't want to fly in that airline.
Of course you wouldn't, and I wouldn't blame you. But I never did that again. And why are you going? So in other words, what I'm saying is, because I never did that again, there was no reason not to fly that airline. However, if they made public the report on it, people would have prejudged me and said, I don't want to fly that airline, even though I wasn't going to do it again.
How do they know you're not going to do it again?
Because I said, if you don't want to believe me, all right. But I said, I'm not going to do it again. I gave my word.
Well, in a perfect world, giving our word would be a nice thing.
Well, yeah. In a perfect world, in a moral and in a sane world, when a man gives his word, we ought to accept it. The fact they didn't accept it means that I gave my word, and the company wouldn't accept it, and the company was acting in an insane way.
All right, 877-876-PHIL with Art Griego here, who had a similar situation, maybe not similar, but got on the talkback on the PA on an aircraft and started saying United 93, United 93 to the passengers and freaking them out, I have to imagine. JetBlue today had a pilot flip out. He had a, quote, bizarre midair breakdown. He had to be restrained by passengers before he was taken off the aircraft. Don't you think these pilots should have their medical conditions, their medical histories publicized so passengers, the public itself can make up their minds? 877-876-7445. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Because of what we were saying, let me get my pilot back on the line here. I got on the line here is Art Griego. Is that Jonathan?
Yes.
Okay, Jonathan, you had it. Art, are you there?
Right here. I was going to. Jim Schultz wanted to say something to you.
Okay, let me talk to Jim in a second. Jonathan, what was your question?
He said that the pilot said that it happens to the best of us. those types of mishaps, and I was wondering how often they actually happen in real life.
Hold on, Jim. How long does it happen? What did you say, sir? How often does it happen?
How often those type of pilot mishaps actually happen?
Well, I can't really tell you. I can tell you that in my career, it happened a couple of times to me, and I've seen it happen a couple of times. It probably is not all that common. For a pilot, it is. You know, it's part of the business of controlling the stress of the job. And so I'd say that it happens, but it doesn't happen so often that it concerns me. Now, if we let out to the public the actual number of incidents that we have, the public is going to do what the public does, which is basically panic. And
I think that's a bad way of looking at it. The public has a right to make up their minds.
You're right. The public does have a right to make up their mind. But unfortunately, I'm looking at this as a professional. I fly an aircraft, and you're asking me to turn over control of that aircraft to someone who
gets
nervous.
Well, I'm not asking you control. All I was asking was how often they actually happen.
No, I'm talking to Phil right now. I'm not talking to you. Did you get your... It happens often enough. It happens often enough. But for you, Phil...
Well, the public, whether they're professional or not, are going to want to know about the health of the pilot.
That's fine. They can ask all the questions they want, but I'm not going to tell them what's happened to me in my life so they can turn around and start... mocking me or making fun of me and making me angrier. Is that what you're talking about, sir?
Yeah, that was it. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. So what I'm saying basically is that you don't have in the aircraft anybody other than the pilot or the co-pilot. And the pilot or the co-pilot, these are people that are in control of the aircraft. And if someone's making fun of me, you know, I have to...
What do you mean, making fun of you?
They're saying, oh, weren't you that guy that was drinking? Let me get Jim up here. Jim Schultz. Hey, Jim.
How's that?
This is a guy who's been flying. I've been flying Jim back and forth to Las Vegas. How do you enjoy the flight, Jim?
That's good. Let me tell you...
Hold on for a minute. I want this gentleman to talk to you, Phil, because he flies with me from Vegas to L.A. constantly. You like the flight?
I go, that's the best flight ever. Who is this?
Hi, Jim. It's Phil Hendry.
Hey, Phil. This guy here has been so wonderful in flying me.
And flying here. Here's the phone again.
Flying me and flying my crew and my wife, everybody. God bless him. That's what he put up with.
And, anyway, now give me a phone.
I want to say to you and everybody listening to him, that you fly with this man here. He's the best guy there is.
All right.
Best one there is.
Gotta get a drink. And they enjoy themselves. Philly's having a drink. I'm flying. I'm safe. What else do you want me to tell you?
Well, you don't need to tell me anything else. You're flying a completely different kind of an aircraft now. This is a small jet. It's a small jet, a charter, right?
Yeah, they hire me, and I've been flying Jim Schultz and his crew. These are guys from his company to Las Vegas. I've been flying them back and forth for years. Is that right?
My wife talk, okay?
Hold on. No.
I'm going to give myself the other guy.
Hold on.
Give myself the other guy.
Are you... You're flying the airplane, or the aircraft.
I'm flying it, yeah. I'm navigating a jet right now. No, everything's fine, but he got a hold of... the airphone here. We got a receiver.
I'm going to tell you to my wife, okay?
No. You just sit down, because I got to talk to Mr. Hendry.
Go, baby.
I have to talk to Mr. Hendry.
See, to me, what I'm hearing right now is the exact thing that you told me you don't want to have to deal with.
On a commercial aircraft with hundreds of people, no, I don't.
I'm going to talk to my wife.
Come on. Sit down, will you? On a commercial aircraft, no, I don't. But I've only got six passengers here.
Well, that guy sounds like he's jumping on and off the phone.
There's an extension here. Put the extension down, Jim, because Phil thinks that I'm in danger or something.
He's got to do it. Gotta do it.
Sit down, Jim, will you?
That guy sounds, and you are sounding like you're angry now.
I'm not angry. He's just, he's drunk. And he had a, did you have anything to eat?
Oh, what?
Did you have anything to eat tonight?
Not from home.
The what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you had anything to eat. Did you have anything to eat? Have some of these pretzels.
Oh, hey.
He doesn't sound good at all, man. Is he having a good time?
What do you care if he's having a good time?
What I'm saying, I don't care, but I'm trying to say, is he drunk as in happy drunk, or is he about to get sick?
I don't know. Jim, are you going to get sick?
What?
Are you going to get sick?
I'm going to...
Give me the phone, man. Don't drool on it. God.
See, you know what, man? You came on here trying to prove that you're in control of your aircraft. You're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And for you to say that I'm not, it's what... Now, how about that? How about that? We're going to crash. You bastard.
Don't you pull me!
Okay, I don't know. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.